All right, good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock, and we're going to start our Thursday, October 26th Planning Commission meeting. And Madam Clerk, first commissioners, would you please unmute your mics? And Madam Clerk, will you please call roll?
Yes, good morning. Commissioner Wyatt?
Here.
Commissioner Viacana?
Here.
And Chairperson Simpson-Spearman?
Here.
And letting the record show that at this time, Commissioner Shaw is not present, and Commissioner Campbell.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Would you please join me for the flag salute? Thank you. And now I would like to open public comment for anything that is not on the agenda. Public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. Madam Clerk, do we have any slips?
No requests to speak.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. So I will close public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. And now, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Mark, would you please provide us with staff planning updates?
Absolutely. Good morning, Chair, Commissioners. Welcome back. Again, seems like we've spent some time here this week. Mark LaRue, Planning and Building, and I will provide staff updates for the morning. There were two items of interest for you at the Board of Supervisors meeting held on October 17th. The board received and filed the Planning Priorities Report that provided staff direction as necessary on the department tiered priority projects, and also received and filed the Annual General Plan Progress Report. I'd like to note for your interest on the Tier 1 projects to be considered. At past meetings earlier in the year, the board had identified a housing policy review and a cannabis ordinance update as potential Tier 1 projects. Housing policy review would start with a report on the county's progress in implementing the 2020 to 2028 housing element with recommendations for future implementing actions, including policy changes and potentially discussion of the inclusionary housing ordinance. This discussion is planned for, I believe, February, the first quarter of 2024, and will be held with the Board of Supervisors, and it will be a robust housing policy discussion. I'd also like to mention that on the last board date, there was a hearing to consider a request for a general plan amendment to change the land use category from agriculture use to residential use on approximately 15-acre parcel site, and an ordinance amendment to create a planning area standard that regulated future density and development on the property. The board approved of this request. The site, the project site is at 6686 Monty Road, just east of the community of Avila Beach. And then moving on to items that are on the docket for your next meeting for November 9th. There are currently four items on the docket. There's a hearing to consider a request for a vesting tentative map, parcel map, and concurrent development plan, coastal development permit, to subdivide two existing 6,000 square foot vacant parcels into planned development consisting of four 3,000 square foot parcels and construction of four single family residences. Also requested is the use of all four units as residential vacation rentals and a modification to the location standard. This project site is within the residential multifamily land use category and located at 2845 and 2855 Avila Beach Drive within the community of Avila Beach. The second project is a hearing to consider a request for a vesting tentative parcel map and concurrent development plan coastal development permit to subdivide an existing 10,000 square foot parcel into a planned development consisting of two 2,900 square foot gross square foot parcels and one 4,600 square foot gross parcel and construction of one single family residence on each of the resulting parcels for the purpose of resale and development. Also requested is the use of all three units as residential vacation rentals. This project is within the residential multifamily land use category and is located at 2821 Avila Beach Drive within the community of Avila Beach. The next hearing is to consider a request for a variance coastal development permit to allow grading on slopes in excess of 30% for a three-level single-family residence of approximately 1,700 square feet with a 650 square foot garage and 500 square foot deck on a 6,200 square foot lot. The project is located within the residential single-family land use category and is located at 2651 Richard Avenue within the community of Cayucos. And the last item on the docket for November 9th, is a continued hearing to consider a request for a variance and minor use permit, coastal development permit to allow grading on slopes over 30% a variance from the Estero planning area standard and the construction of a two-story 1,900 square foot residence with attached 400 square foot garage and 880 square foot of exterior deck area. The project is located at 2831 Alamo Drive in the community of Los Osos. And it should also be noted that after today, there are only two Planning Commission hearing dates left for the year. That would be the November 9th date that we just mentioned and December 14th. And that completes my staff updates.
Mark, thank you. And good morning, Miriam. I just want to note for the record, Madam Clerk, that Miriam has, Commissioner Shaw has joined us. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And then just for the record, I think I mentioned already, I will be gone for the November 9th meeting.
Thank you, Alex. All right. With that, I'd like to move on to the consent agenda. And we have draft meeting minutes from August 10th, the 24th, 30th, and the 14th. Is there any corrections that any commissioners want to pull on those meeting minutes?
I'm not sure if you already went through this one, but on one of them, I think the heading was the wrong date. Did you see that already? It was, I think it was the number, let's see, it was item.
I think you're referring to September 20th, yeah. 14th. Yes, yeah. They've been corrected. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anne, was there something on the meeting notes?
I was gone on August 10th, so I'll abstain from item 3. And on the item 4, August 24th minutes, there was no link to those online. So for me reading without paper, I don't know if you all got them in paper, but anybody trying to read those wouldn't have been able to find them. So I would recommend those get pulled for approval at a next meeting to make sure that link is there. And just minor on number 5, August 30th, a couple of us are marked absent on adjournment. It's not substantive, but it's there.
Thank you for those, for identifying those. Please, Mark, you'll make those for the record, and we can go ahead and pull then the 24th to the 9th, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Okay, with that, take those into record. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, let's moving on. Madam Clerk, let's move to number our first project. Would you please introduce the item, Madam Clerk?
Chair, we actually have two additional items on
absolutely
consent.
On the consent. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first one is the Toad Creek Terrence LLC. And the second one is the 96 Old County Road LLC project. Mm-hmm. Do the commissioners have anything they would like to add or say on those two items?
If the motion maker and second would like to include those
yes,
two
we'll,
items.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that all right with everyone? All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Clerk. And now we would like to move on to the first hearing item. And Madam Clerk, would you please introduce that?
Certainly. The first hearing is a hearing to consider a request by Once Upon a Time LP and Cavella for a third and final one-year time extension, County File NEXT 2023-00028, Supervisorial District 3, Project Manager Dane Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And now I'm going to ask the commissioners to disclose any ex parte communications on this project. I'm seeing none. Thank you, commissioners. And now, Mark, would you please introduce the staff that will be presenting this morning?
I will. Staff planner, Dane Mueller, supported by Shawnee Siang, supervising planner.
Good morning, Dane.
Thank you, everyone. Good morning, Chairperson Simpson-Spearman and members of the commission. My name is Dane Mueller, planner with the county, and this morning I will be presenting an overview of this time extension request. The project before you is a request by Once Upon a Time LP / Covelop for a third and final time extension for a previously approved conditional use permit DRC 2018-00174. The permit was originally approved during during the July 25th, 2019 Planning Commission hearing and became effective on August 8th, 2019 at the end of its appeal period. The permit was initially valid for a period of 2 years until August 8th, 2021, with 2 one-year time extensions being granted ministerially thereafter until August 8th, 2023. Staff would like to read into record a correction to the staff report that this third and final time extension will continue the effective date of the land use permit to August 8th, 2024. The previously approved permit allows for the construction of a three-story, 14-room inn on an infill, on an infill lot within the Avila Village Center, a commercial plan development. The project is located at 6645 Bay Laurel Place within the Avila Village Center at San Luis Bay Estates and is within the San Luis Bay Inland sub-area north of the San Luis Obispo planning area. The approved project is within the recreation land use category. This is an aerial view of the approximately 8,500 square foot project site. As you can see, this is an infill lot. Here's a map for reference, which shows the layout of the existing property lines along with the neighboring structures which surround the property. Please note that the development will be located on Lot 8. And the next three slides show the approved layout of the inn. This is the first floor. And the second floor. And finally, this is the third floor. The next three slides will contain previously approved elevations. The first slide includes neighboring structures for context. Here are the enlarged north and south elevations and the east and west. The Planning Commission may grant a third and final one-year time extension if the following findings can be made: that substantial site work could not be completed due to circumstances beyond the control of the applicant, that there have been no changes to the land use ordinance applicable to the project, site characteristics that affect the land use ordinances, and no changes to the community resource capacities to serve the project, and lastly, that the original findings required in the land use approval can be made. Staff analysis, as detailed in the staff report and attached findings, demonstrates that the request meets the required findings for a third and final time extension, as well as the original findings required for conditional use permit approval. Substantial site work could not be completed due to circumstances beyond the control of the applicant, which included scheduling and construction constraints due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission conditionally approve the third and final time extension to be valid until August 8th, 2024 for the previously approved conditional use permit DRC 2018-00174 based on the findings in Exhibit A, Attachment 1, that carry over to the original approved findings and conditions. That concludes staff's presentation. Planning staff, as well as the property owner's agent, Jamie Jones, are available to respond to questions the commission and members of the public may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, does the applicant want to present anything at this time or? Okay.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the commission, Jamie Jones representing the property owner applicant this morning. And I did want to make myself available for questions. I think your commission will be seeing a number of these third time extensions come in for these projects that were approved just before COVID, because we had COVID, and then we have increase in material costs, the change in interest rates. So a lot of our projects are they're taking all the time that's in their land use permits to get approved. I am happy to report that construction should be vested, meaning the foundation is done and construction should be occurring above grade in November. So we're excited to get to that milestone, and we appreciate your support and approval this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, do you have any questions for staff or the applicant at this time? No? Okay. And so now I'll open it up for public comment, please. Is there any public comment on this project, Madam Clerk?
No additional requests to speak.
Thank you. I'll close public comment. Okay, I think I'm looking for a motion.
Could you put the recommendation back up so I could just read off the screen, please? So I'll make a motion to conditionally approve the third and final time extension of minor use permit DRC 2018-00174, valid until August 8th, 2024, based on the findings in Exhibit A, and carry over the original findings and conditions outlined in the attachment July 25th, 2019 Planning Department Hearing Staff Report.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, will you please call?
Commissioner Viacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yeah.
And Chairperson Simpson-Swearman.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Clerk. And if you would please, and thank you staff, thank you applicant, would you please read the next item?
Certainly. Hearing item number 10 is a hearing to consider a request by Dave and Steve Ormondi for a third and final one-year time extension, County File NEXT 2023-00031, Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Dane Mueller.
Thank you very much. And Mark, would you please introduce the staff that will be presenting this item?
Same team is back again, Dane and Shawnee.
Thank you very much. All right, go right ahead.
Thank you, everyone, again. Good morning again, Chair and members of the Commission. To reiterate, my name is Dane Mueller, planner with the county, and this morning I will be presenting an overview of this time extension request also. The project before you is a request by Dave and Steve Ormondi for a third and final time extension for previously approved minor use permit DRC 2014-00084. The permit was originally approved during the July 19th, 2019 Planning Department hearing and became effective on August 2nd, 2019 at the end of its appeal period. Staff would like to clarify minor discrepancies in the staff report that the effective approval date is August 2nd, 2019. The permit was initially valid for a period of 2 years until August 2nd, 2021, with 2 one-year time extensions being granted ministerially thereafter until August 2nd, 2023. The previously approved permit allows for the construction of a 17,458 truck sales and service facility, including truck service and maintenance area, parts, sales, offices, and 24,000 square feet of outdoor storage area. The project is located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Wilsona Road and Benton Road, approximately 3 miles north of the city of Paso Robles. The site is located in the Salinas River subarea and the North County planning area. The approved project is within the commercial service land use category. This is an aerial view of the approximately 2-acre project site. The site is situated on a previously disturbed lot. This is the previously approved site plan. And this slide includes the previously approved floor plans for the project. And finally, here's a preliminary landscape plan for the project. The Planning Commission may grant a third and final one-year time extension if the following findings on screen can be made. These are the same findings that were mentioned in the previous presentation. Staff analysis, as detailed in the staff report and attached findings, demonstrates that the request meets the required findings for a third and final time extension, as well as the original findings required for conditional use permit approval. Substantial site work could not be completed due to circumstances beyond the control of the applicant, which included scheduling and construction constraints due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission conditionally approve third and final time extension to be valid until August 2nd, 2024 for the previously approved minor use permit, DRC 2014-00084. Based on the findings in Exhibit A, Attachment 1, that carry over to the original approved findings and conditions. That concludes staff's presentation. Planning staff, as well as the property owner's agent, Jamie Jones, are available to respond to questions the commission and members of the public may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dane. Jamie, is there anything you would like to add as the applicant's representative on this one? Okay. With that, I'm going to open it up to the public comment. Madam Clerk, is there any public comment on this project?
No request to speak. However, if anybody wants to speak on any of the items, speaker slips are stationed in the back of the room.
Okay, so I'm just going to wait a minute to see if there's any public comment from the group. And I'm not seeing any. So I'm going to close public comment and open it up to the commissioners if they have any questions for the applicant or staff on this project. Okay, I'm seeing none. So I'm looking for a motion then, please.
I'll move staff's recommendation, which is to conditionally approve the third and final time extension to be valid until August 2nd, 2024 for the previously approved minor use permit. I'm not gonna read all those numbers and letters. Based on the findings in Exhibit A that carry over the original findings and conditions outlined in the attached July 19th, 2019 Planning Department hearing staff report.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk, I have a motion and a second. Would you please call?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Viacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chairperson Simpson-Spearman?
Yes. Thank you, staff. Thank you, applicant. And Madam Clerk, would you please read the next hearing item?
Yes. Hearing item number 11 is a hearing to consider a request by Brad Goodrow to amend conditional use permit DRC 2006-00147 to increase the allowable weight of incoming compostable feedstock from 200 tons per day to 300 tons per day. County file amend 2023-0004, Supervisorial District 5, Project Manager Blake Muley.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Commissioners, I just want to do a correction. For the record, I didn't call ex parte on item 10, so I'm going to ask for ex parte on item 10. Is there any ex parte from the commissioners? Seeing none? Okay, thank you. I'm going to do the same thing now for this item number 11. Any ex parte for item number 11? Nope. Okay, seeing none. Thank you. Mark, would you be so kind to introduce planning staff?
I will. Presentation will be by Blake Molly, project planner, and Eric Hughes, principal environmental specialist, for support.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Simpson-Spearman and members of the Planning Commission. I'm Blake Molly, project manager with the Planning and Building Department. Before us today is a request by Brad Goodrow for an amendment, AMEND 2023-00004. To a previously approved conditional use permit, DRC 2006-00147. This amendment proposes the increase in the allowable weight of incoming compostable material from 200 tons per day to 300 tons per day, and allow for the maximum of 50,000 tons of compostable material on site at any given time. Please note that this proposal is to remedy previous discrepancies between Cal Recycle and county issue permits. The proposed project is located at 3730 Highway 58, southeast of the community of Creston. The proposed project is within the agriculture land use category. Here we're looking at an aerial image of the overall vicinity of the project site. In this slide, you can see a overall site plan. Please note that the North Pad Area 1 and South Pad Area A are shown in this site plan, as well as Area B, which is an expansion area that has already been approved by a previous conditional use permit. Multiple neighbors have reached out over the past couple days regarding noticing odors and traffic. We followed standard county noticing protocol of 300 feet from the project parcel. The project also has specific odor and vector mitigation requirements, and no additional traffic trips other than what has previously been approved are being proposed through this amendment. Please note that the background section of the staff report states that CalRecycle allowed the applicant a maximum of 12,500 tons at any given time. This is incorrect, as 12,500 tons does not correlate to 50,000 cubic yards, as the compost material weighs 0.5 tons per 1 cubic yard. Pursuant to state CEQA guidelines section 15162 and 15164, an addendum to the MND was prepared. The proposed amendment will allow the applicant to receive up to 300 tons per day of compost material and allow and also store a maximum capacity of 50,000 tons of compost. This request will not result in additional land disturbance, traffic trips, storage of hazardous materials, or potential air quality impacts, including odors, beyond what was considered and approved in 2006. No new mitigation measures are needed to address and lessen potentially significant impacts to a level of less than significant. Therefore, the previously adopted 2006 MND is adequate for the purposes of compliance with CEQA. Staff is recommending to approve the addendum prepared to the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration and approve amendment AMEND 2023-00004 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to help answer any questions you may have. Also joining us today to help answer questions is Amber Davis and Rachel Best on behalf of Quest Planning and the applicant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you like an opportunity for questions now, or would you like to hear the applicant?
I had one question.
Absolutely.
So I'm not sure. It might be for the applicant or the staff. I didn't see anything in here from the APCD. Should they have weighed in on this, or were they consulted?
Eric Hughes, County Planning and Building. So the original project in 2006 actually looked at this exact same numbers, but because of the discrepancy, they did an addendum. The CalRecycle permit allows, it's a discrepancy between cubic yards and tons. And so the overall amount of compost is not changing. It's really just rectifying that number. So the APCD had commented originally and proposed conditions of approval. So those same conditions just carry forward. It's again, really, it's just correcting this number.
Okay, so that is very interesting to me. That's kind of the first time that clicked in my mind. So what you're saying is you're not increasing the amount right now.
Correct. The amount that was considered in 2006 is the same amount. That's the same area. It's just the matter of CalRecycle requires a CEQA determination, and to correct that 50,000 cubic yards to 50,000 tons, they want to see a new CEQA document. So this is why we prepared an addendum, just noting that correction in those numbers, and then noting that it's not changing the operations that were approved.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
With that, I'll ask the applicant or representative to come up if they have a presentation.
Chair and Commissioners, my name is Amber Davis with Quest Planning, and I'll give you a little more background on this project that's before you. So the proposed amendment is to increase the allowable intake of the compost feedstock from 200 tons per day to 300 tons per day, make the allowable daily tonnage intake correspond to the previously approved truck numbers of trips per day and compost area expansion that was approved back in 2015. It's also to clarify the previously approved maximum compost material capacity of 50 tons per day. Amend the M&D to capture that accurate scope of work, and truck trips and maximum material capacity will not be increased as part of this amendment. So to give you a little bit more permit history here, the original entitlement was approved back in 2006, which was the compost research facility that operated on 8.03 acres and permanent compost facility with a daily limit of 200 tons per day. And that was when the original M&D was prepared. In 2015, there was an amendment to the project to increase the daily truck trips from 8 to 24 truck trips, resulting in 12 truck round trips per day, and to eliminate the 10% food waste content limit as well. Then in 2022, a modification found an increase in allowable intake from 200 tons per day to 300 tons per day to be in substantial conformance with the previous approvals and correspond to the previously approved increase in truck trips. CalRecycle then reviewed the county's substantial conformance determination and requested that an M&D amendment be prepared for the project. So currently at 300 tons per day at 6 days per week, it's a maximum annual compost receipt of 94,000 tons. The facility plans to conduct two compost cycles per year, and each cycle processes approximately 47 tons of material. There is a 3,000 ton buffer from the 50,000 ton capacity at any given time on the site. CalRecycle issues that came up during this review was that the initial issued solid waste facility permit for composting facility allowed for 200 tons per day and 50,000 cubic yard maximum capacity. CalRecycle determined that the M&D did not adequately address the impacts of increasing the tonnage per day and noticed discrepancies in the units used to quantify the maximum pad capacity. In the M&D, there was a discrepancy between 50,000 cubic yards and 50,000 tons. They were kind of interchanged throughout the document. And they would not modify the solid waste facility permit at this time. So the county agreed as lead CEQA agency to amend the M&D to address the increase in maximum tonnage and correct the maximum capacity to reflect 50,000 tons. The M&D amendment will allow CalRecycle to issue the solid waste facility for the composting facility with a 300 trips per day and 50,000 ton maximum capacity. And then to speak a little bit more to the odor mitigation, an odor impact minimization plan was prepared by the project team and accepted by county staff in accordance with conditions of approval on the original entitlement. Objectionable odors at any composting operation are contrary to a successful composting enterprise. Odor prevention measures that are in place, there's aeration, temperature control, moisture management of all the windrows, which are the compost piles. There's also on the compost piles themselves, there's a bioseal layer, which is finished compost and a layer of wood chips covering those compost piles. There's also drainage control and quality assurance of that feedstock material that comes into the site. If objectionable odors are detected by the composting operations manager, they will investigate and determine the likely source of the odor, determine what on-site management practices can remedy that problem, and immediately implement appropriate measures. They patrol the site perimeter and surrounding areas frequently to make sure that odor is not traveling off the site. CalRecycle has never received a complaint of objectionable odor at the facility, and SLO APCD has not received a complaint since 2020. And I'm available for questions, and that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant's representative?
I have one. Can you just break this down for me? How is it going from 200 to 300, yet there's no increase?
So with the increase in truck trips that was previously approved to 8 truck trips per day, that's the increase in tonnage that was not reflected in the document. So it's just the increase in truck trips that was already approved that captures the increase in tonnage.
Okay, so what you're saying is these truck trips were approved in 2015, so this amount of tonnage has probably been coming in since then.
Correct. So that allowable tonnage is really just a clerical error and wasn't defined in that document. And so it's just making sure that the truck trips now align with the total tonnage.
Okay. And as far as the complaint process to APCD or to the CalRecycle, because we received a letter, at least one letter from a neighbor about odor, when the noticing went out for this, I mean, do neighbors know the process for the complaint? I mean, I know I probably wouldn't as a layperson. Has there any notice to certain neighbors that this is the process, that give us a call if you smell anything? Is there anything like that?
Can I expand on that too? So it sounds like the noticing is a 300-foot notice from property lines. For the response hotline, does that go out broader? Is it posted on the property? I mean, just kind of walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, Eric Hughes, County Planning and Building. So I guess I want to separate the two things. The hearing notice is what we're referring to as far as the noticing of the project. For the odor control, there's not in our conditions a requirement to notice neighbors. I do not know the specifics of the odor plan and if that's something that's part of the odor plan.
Yeah, so we actually have posted on the front gate. There is information there in case of a complaint needs to be posted or made.
Okay, thank you. That was all my questions.
So a little bit to the increase that's not an increase. So if you're increasing from 200 to 300 tons per day, the amount that can be on site at any one time is 50,000 tons, right?
Correct.
So technically, it could increase the amount that's coming through depending on how long that 50,000 tons stays on the property. So because you're bringing in more each day, you could be taking off more each day. Is that correct? There is an increase.
That's not quite correct, though, because we're still limited by the number of truck trips that was previously approved. So we can't bring in more tonnage per day with that limit on the truck trips.
Okay, so there's no increase on how much is going to be on the property. It's just correcting numbers. Okay.
It's just a little correction of the record.
Okay, great.
Thank you. So with no further questions, I'm now going to open it to public comment, please. Madam Clerk, are there any speaker slips that you have?
No speaker slips received. However, if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on this hearing item, please step forward.
Okay, so I'm just ask one more time if there's any other public members that would like to speak on this project, please move forward. Yes, just go ahead and identify yourself and then you can fill out a slip later. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Commission. Thank you for hearing this. I'm Brad Goodrow, and I just wanted to kind of formalize it a little better. The biggest problem with the composting business is we get a lot of compost in the summertime and then into the fall, and then it falls off drastically in the wintertime. So if we have 200 truck trips every day all through the year, what can happen is we have more in the summer than we have in the winter. We might only get 25 tons in the winter per day, but we might have more than 200 tons in the middle of summer per day. So in actuality, we may never hit 300 tons per day through the whole year. And that's one problem that we have, is why this differentiation in truck trips. I just wanted to reiterate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if I have no other public comment, I'll close public comment. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead, Madam Clerk. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dave Hanto, and I live right up the road from Brad Goodrow. And, well, right right up the valley. I live on O'Donovan Road. And the stench from this is unbelievable. It's normally when we get a westerly wind that the stench is bad. So, and we've actually, me and numerous neighbors have complained repeatedly, not only to the county, but the EPA, and we've got no response from anybody. Somebody from the county did come out about 2 years ago and basically told us there was nothing they could do. So I just wanted to voice my opposition to increasing this or even the business. I mean, it's terrible that we have to smell this. And I'm not a good public speaker, so I just wanted to voice my opposition to this. I mean, if you guys lived in the area, you would know. I mean, it's basically like living next to a dump. And I didn't buy a house out there to smell this smell. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then if you would just be so kind just to fill out a speaker slip so we have it for the record, I would appreciate it. And she'll help you.
Okay.
Thank you. Hi. It looks like we have one more for public comment. So if you'd state your name for the record and where you're from.
Jim Wise. I'm with Pacific Waste Services. We're the engineer for Brad Goodrow Compost Facility. I've personally been on the site more than once a quarter. And during that time, I've never observed or smelled any issues with odors. I've communicated with the local SLO APCD staff, and they reviewed their records, and they only found one comment back in 2020 of any odor complaint, and it was never verified by any APCD staff person. Also, I've talked personally with Cal Recycle, who comes out quarterly or monthly to the facility. And I've got an email on file that identifies that they've not, in their records, seen any odor complaints from the facility. I've been in the waste business for 40 years, both solid waste and in composting, and I've not ever noticed any kind of odors of the concern this previous gentleman is identifying. Obviously, I'm not there 24/7, but we're not seeing anything in the operation that would create the kind of odors that he's suggesting. I'm part of the applicant package. I can certainly sign one of those documents if you so choose. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And is there any other public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will close public comment, and then I will open it up to the commissioners for any questions that they might have.
I guess not a question, but maybe just, is there some way that we can get a little bit more information about the odor hotline out to some of the neighbors? Is there some sort of condition we can put on that maybe there has to be some sort of notice sent out to neighbors within a certain distance so they know who to call? Because sometimes you just don't, I mean, if you don't drive by the gate, how do you know who to get in contact with?
Commissioner Viacana, yes, if the commission would like to, add a condition requiring prior to expansion that they provide the notice and the list of neighbors that have been noticed and their contact information, we can definitely add that.
I think that's a really good idea.
And I was kind of going that same direction, that I'm not sure what kind of what our purview is as far as directing other organizations, but it sounds like APCD maybe needs to take a trip out there, maybe have a public meeting, or at least reach out to neighbors, because we all know what was going on in 2020, and it was easy for things to not be maybe recorded or followed up on, because I don't know, for a neighbor to drive all the way down here to talk about this and for us to get emails, like I think the APCD needs to get a little more involved.
So if we can add some sort of condition, I don't know what the size of the lots are out there, but and I don't know how far the gentleman's property is from where the composting facility is, but You know, the winds are, you know, the winds will carry smell quite a ways, but it might be something, even if we get it, you know, to the advisory committee that then could basically disperse it to neighbors, just so they have a little bit easier access to make a call.
Commissioner Viacana, I believe that we did look at an aerial, and it was over 1,000 feet. So, so I don't know if there's a specific distance your commission would like to see, but then I also had a recommendation for the advisory council as well and notifying them. So we can definitely, if you have a specific distance in mind, I'm not completely familiar with you know, the distance requirements. And then also to address your comment, the APCD actually does review the odor management plan. And so prior to expansion, the condition that's currently written does require their review and approval prior to that activity taking place.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there, but what I thought I heard Marianne say is, and I agree with her, is that there probably needs to be some reach out so that there is some understanding within the public of what the process is, and they would be a great agency to maybe spearhead that. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, people often don't know. For example, if APCD puts an odor control plan on their agenda, how are neighbors going to know to, you know, show up for that? They may not. So I don't know. It sounds like there's some disconnect right now is what I'm hearing.
Or even have that access to the odor control plan, right, to be able to see that and kind of understand that process. So I think it's a public awareness concern and how do we address that?
Yeah, understood.
Yeah, so I can give you a little bit more information on the APCD as well. So while the APCD did review the odor control plan, the facility is actually exempt from an APCD permit. So they may not be the right agency to go to do additional noticing in that capacity.
That's helpful. So then are we thinking we talk to the advisory council out there? Would that be?
I think we're looking for ways to best get the information out and then have a way where if somebody calls, they actually know that it was logged and that there's a follow-up timeline so they're not just left in limbo.
Yeah, Cal Recycle is really the agency that oversees the composting facility. So they would be the main agency, I think, that would take on potentially something like this. And they would receive the complaints as well if there were any.
Okay. Does staff agree with that finding? So APCD would not be able to follow up on a complaint here. Is that?
I don't know APCD's exact policy, but they do require review of the odor plan. And when there are odor complaints, they are involved. So in my experience, they have typically been a part of a complaint process when there are, again, odors.
Yeah.
And so I think adding a condition that, you know, requires the contact information for APCD and Cal Recycle. And I do want to note our condition actually requires that both agencies review that odor management plan as part of, you know, prior to any, review and approve the odor management plan prior to any expansion.
Yeah. And should this be agendized at their advisory council or was it, or should it be? I don't know.
For the APCD, I don't know that these actually go to a public hearing. It's more of a condition compliance process. And so I'm not an air quality specialist in knowing exactly what goes into these type of measures, but there definitely are, you know, certain requirements from Cal Recycle and APCD as far as what they would require for, you know, odor controls. And that would be vetted through their process. But I don't know that there's a public
hearing. Well, I was
on
just
that.
Talking about the advisory council for the area, Creston or... you know, should this go there? And can we,
because I think what we're trying to do, we understand the checks and balances with the plan, but what we're trying to do is how do you get this information out to the surrounding public that may be impacted so that they know what they can do if they are impacted and to ensure that there's a follow-up for them and that it gets addressed, right? That's what we're trying to do. So we're looking for suggestions on how we can make that happen.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman, I think maybe adding a condition that prior to the expansion, they provide a presentation to the local advisory council, providing the odor mitigation plan, and then also the contact information of the applicant and applicable agencies that can be contacted in the event of a complaint.
Can we also put a condition in there that they have to send a letter to the surrounding, maybe, I don't know how wide their scope, to their neighbors, and in that letter also states the process if they have an odor complaint they would like to file, what the process is, and various points of contact so they have duplicate ways that they can try to get a response back? Something like that? I don't know if that, that's just an idea. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that's the solution.
What is our distance for cannabis? I mean, because the smell, we're kind of dealing with the same thing here.
Typically the noticing is 1,000 feet when it comes to like hearing noticing, but for odor plans, there isn't an actual requirement in our code.
So maybe I think I would lean toward your recommendation of maybe sending it to the question advisory committee and at least getting the information out that way. So.
Mm-hmm. And if there is a letter sent to neighbors, maybe even let them know this is being sent to the advisory commission so that they can watch the agendas for it to pop up.
Yeah, we can, if we want to take a break or we can.
I guess before we would do that, I'm hearing the standard noticing is 1,000 feet. And maybe in this case or such cases where these are large parcels, and we recognize that odors travel under certain conditions, not all the time. I have a house relatively near a sewer treatment plant, and there are certain times there are smells, and plenty of times there aren't. And we went through this on the commission in the early 2000s when Cold Canyon was doing some row composting, and there were plenty of neighbor concerns. And we went out, and it was clear, you know, there were odors. And the method of treatment was an occasional spray of some orange-smelling stuff that wasn't quite doing it. So I really appreciate the neighbors' concerns that those conditions don't happen all the time, and appreciate that there are treatments, but they don't work all the time. So maybe 2,000 or 3,000-foot notice. I can't tell from my quick look at the map just where the other houses are and where the Hontos, for example, at what distance they are. Does anyone happen to know, for example, what distance you are, or the Hontos residences from the site? That may give us an idea of how far the odors are traveling. So roughly, so if we looked at a distance of 2,000 or 3,000 feet, for some kind of noticing, that would give people a little more information, maybe reasonably within a half mile range. That would cover residents, any other residences in that area.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think you have kind of two key points that you want to hit here, Eric. And why don't we go ahead and give you, is 10 minutes enough time, or can you, how much time do you need? Is that all right?
Eric, he's planning on, yes, 10 minutes will work.
Okay. So we're. Why don't we meet back here at 10:05, and I'm going to call for a break, and we'll adjourn now. Meet back at 10:05. Thank you. All right, we're looking at 10:05. Staff, are we ready?
Yes, I believe we're ready.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so if we could share my screen. Sweet, okay. So here is the conditions for of approval. Okay, let me make it bigger. Awesome, okay. So condition four is within 60 days of project approval and prior to project expansion, the applicant shall be required to develop an odor impact minimization plan, and we ended up editing condition four under the odor complaint response system. The facility operator shall designate an odor impact coordinator who will be responsible for responding to any complaints about odors. The applicant shall be required to establish a telephone hotline and odor impact coordinator for nearby receptors to contact the facility and shall notify all neighbors of the availability of the hotline. Complaints shall be recorded in writing and provided to the County Environmental Coordinator's Office and the APCD for review as requested. The odor impact coordinator shall immediately notify the County Environmental Coordinator's Office and the APCD of any odor-related complaints and shall coordinate with the County Environmental Coordinator's Office, CalRecycle, and the APCD to make any necessary operational and/or technical modifications necessary to minimize the likelihood of future odors. And here is our update. The applicant shall provide written notification to owners of properties within a minimum of 0.5-mile radius of the parcel of the proposed facility and establish a website to provide information on how to post a complaint. The information shall include the applicant's contact information, APCD, CalRecycle, and County Code Enforcement. Such notice shall be provided to the Planning and Building Department. Furthermore, the applicant needs to contact the local advisory council to present their odor management plan and provide the contact information for filing complaints per the odor complaint response system above.
Well, thank you. Creating a website, did you ask the applicant about that? Whether that's an amenable exercise? I'm not a fan of creating websites, just wondering.
Yeah, it's something that we can do, although I think noticing the neighbors with a, you know, contact information of CalRecycle and the Planning and Building Department code enforcement is probably enough to, you know, cover that.
I wouldn't be a fan of requiring the creation of another website. Is there some support for that or feeling that's necessary?
Yeah, I support striking it. I think with just the noticing and the meeting with the Creston advisory, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I like the advisory council as a key stakeholder there. And I'm not wed into a website either. Yeah. Marion, what do you think?
Another website.
So, Eric, maybe strike that. Okay, any other way you think we can make it better?
Should the sign at the gate be updated to reflect all these agencies? I'm just not sure what the sign at the gate says now.
Okay. That's a good addition. Can you write that in, please? Okay, commissioners, anything else you can see? Anne, Alex, Miriam?
Good.
Okay.
Ready for a motion?
If you guys are.
Okay. So I will make a motion to approve We're at the right one here. Yeah. Okay. So approve the addendum prepared to the previously adopted mitigated negative declaration ED06-352/SCH number 2009081096 in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resources Code Section 2100. Approve amend 2023-00004 to amend California Conditional Use Permit DRC 2006-00147. Based on the findings in listed in Exhibit A and the conditions, is it the revised B? Is that what we revised? Okay, and the revised conditions listed in Exhibit B.
In a second?
Yeah, I will second with the understanding that I think my understanding is correct, that this is not a change in the amount going on at the facility, but we do take the neighbors' concerns very seriously, and we really hope that we've done what, all we can to address them. So I second.
Okay. Madam Clerk, would you please call roll?
Commissioner Riacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chairperson Simpson-Spearman?
Yes. Thank you, staff. Thank you, applicant. And now, Madam Clerk, will you please call hearing item number 12?
Yes. Our final hearing item today is a hearing to consider a request by Darren Lingfield and Waste Connections for an amendment to a conditional use permit, County File DRC 2005-00170, to revise the entrance to the landfill and to relocate the scale facilities at Cold Canyon Landfill. County File Amend 2022-00009, Supervisorial District 3, Project Manager Eric Tolley. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, if you could please disclose ex parte on this item. Okay, thank you. And Mark, would you please introduce the staff?
I will. Eric Tolley, Senior Planner, and Holly Phipps, Supervising Planner for support.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Planning Commission. I'm going to take you guys from a composting facility to a landfill facility with this project. This is for Cold Canyon Waste Connections Conditional Use Permit, AMEND 2022-00009. This project is an amendment to an approved conditional use permit to revise the entrance to the landfill and relocate the scale facilities. There will be a total of 1.2 acres of site disturbance on a 206 acre project site, 299 cubic yards of cut and 400 cubic yards of fill is expected. Also included with this project is an addendum to the 2012 final EIR. Cold Canyon is located here, right out south of the city of San Luis Obispo, located on California 227.
May I interrupt you for just a minute? Is gentleman in the back, would you be able to close that door, please? Thank you very much.
This is the project site, an aerial view, again, located on California 227, also known as Carpenter Canyon Road. The project is located within two land use categories, agriculture and public facilities. This is the overall site plan. There's a lot going on here, so let me break it down for you. In 2012, the landfill applied for a conditional use permit and an EIR for expansion of the facilities. One component of the expansion was to relocate its access and entrance facilities. Does my mouse work? Okay, so the yellow is where the previously approved entrance facility and roadway was approved in 2012. Currently, it stands here, and the red dotted line is the current access road. The red star is the current existing entrance facilities and scale house. The applicant is proposing to relocate to deviate from the 2012 expansion project entrance facility component to the blue line here, retaining the driveway, and the blue line is going to be going to facilitate on-site queuing for the garbage trucks and traffic entering. Currently, it's about 100 linear feet from where the scale house is located now to Highway 227. Post-approval and post-construction, the queuing will be about 3,300 feet. So it will be substantially more, there won't be any queuing on the actual roadway itself. It'll all be on site. Keep going. This is the site plan provided by the applicant. Just kind of more of an in-depth view. Current driveway located here. The entrance facilities is kind of located right around this area here. They go up and around. What they're proposing is to go make an immediate hard right as soon as they enter the facility, go all the way around, up and over, and the scale house is going to be located here. Staff's recommendation is to approve the addendum that's been prepared for the 2012 final environmental impact report in accordance with the applicable provisions of CEQA. Also, staff's recommendation is to approve the amendment to the conditional use permit DRC 2005-00170 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B. I am available for questions. We also have representation of the landfill themselves if you have questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioners, do you have questions of staff at this time on this one?
I guess my general question is just to confirm what I think I've heard and understand. So the reason for this is to, you said for queuing, internal queuing. So is that now expanding out during busy periods to Carpenter Canyon or creating a problem currently, or is there one anticipated with some kind of increased use?
That's a good question, and I'll defer that to the applicant to provide. I don't know if they're the current status of any issues with the roadway.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, with this time, would you like to just give your briefing or answer questions of the commission? If you have a briefing, please go ahead.
Sure thing. Good morning, Madam Chair and member of the commission. My name is Jeff Claren. I'm the district manager for the area here, representing Cold Canyon Landfill, and I got my team here. We do not have a presentation here, but we're here to answer any questions that you guys may have. To answer Commissioner Wyatt's question, there is some issues with queuing. If you imagine, it's 100 linear feet. So during the busy times, we have some good measures to get the garbage trucks through, but there is queuing that happens at certain time periods when it happens. So this situation here, when we can move the scale to another location, it will increase the queuing, and then the safety factor there in 227 is a big reason why we're truly trying to do this.
Thank you. Commissioners, other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And with this, I would like to open it up to public comment, please. Madam Clerk, do we have any public comment on this issue?
Yes, we do. We have one request to speak from Jamie.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the commission. My name is Jamie Jones, and I'm here this morning providing comments on behalf of Earl Darway. Earl Darway owns property south, contiguous property south. And Mr. Darway is in support of the proposed changes. We just wanted to make sure in the record, back in 2012, there was an agreement entered into between Mr. Darway and the owners of the landfill. And we just want to, for the record, make sure that this amendment doesn't change anything related to that agreement, which we don't think it does, and doesn't change the terms, and everything's still in effect. So we just wanted to get that into the record, and but also provide support for the changes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think Anne might have a question for you, Jamie.
Well, actually, it's for staff in response to Jamie's client's concern. Just want to make sure that staff's understanding. I don't know anything about the previous agreement or can't interpret that. So is that your understanding?
Well, that makes two of us. This is the first I've heard of it.
right.
So, as far as I know, it shouldn't affect.
Right. And I don't think it would. And I would say it's a confidential agreement, so I don't expect staff to be able to provide you the details.
None of us.
And I'm not allowed to provide them to you. But we just wanted to have that in the record.
So. Okay. Well, so responding, if that's a confidential agreement and staff doesn't know anything about it and council may not know anything about it, I don't know anything about it. So I can't say we could weigh in on that. So, somebody?
It does appear that Ms. Jones is in support along on behalf of her applicant, so I would safely assume that it doesn't affect this confidential settlement.
So we'll note that you were here to put it into the record. Thank you very much, Mrs. Jones. All right. Any more public comment?
No additional requests to speak.
Okay. So I'll close. Okay, just making sure no other public comment. Okay, great. Then I will close public comment. And any other questions from the commissioners to either staff or the applicant on this project? Okay, if not, then I'll be looking for a motion.
All right. Yes, so moved. I'll move that we approve the addendum to the 2012 FEIR in accordance with the applicable provisions of CEQA, and we approve the amendment 2022-00009 to conditional use permit DRC 2005-001-70 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
And I'll second.
Thank you. Motion second. Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yeah.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Viacana?
Yes.
And Chairperson Simpson-Spearman?
Yes. Thank you, applicant. Thank you, staff. And that concludes our hearing items. I understand, Mark, from a staff perspective, there is a final update that you wanted to give before we adjourn. Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So I know I did identify that the last two hearings, there's only one in November and one in December. I did not talk about future hearings in 2024. So the dates in 2024 have not been selected yet. Traditionally, the Planning Commission hearings are held on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month. Provided holidays and other things don't conflict with those. Obviously this year, you know, things have changed where we only have one in November and one in December. The final calendar should be prepared by the end of November. What we do in our records management staff waits for the Board of Supervisors to finalize their dates. Once those dates are set and cast in stone, then we work around those to develop the plan for all of the other hearing bodies that we manage, including the Planning Commission. So I would anticipate by the end of November, the master calendar should be distributed and include all the dates for or anticipated dates for 2024.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Mark on that? Okay. Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to ask for a motion to take all information into the record.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk?
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And then I'm looking for a final motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.